And it is time now for the Rural News with Sally Murphy in Ōtautahi. Kia ora, Sally. And a hemp company isn't actually growing any hemp this season.
Kia ora, Marnie, that's right. It says a perfect storm of COVID and government regulations has stifled growth in the industry. The Brothers Green grows hemp and uses the seeds in health supplements and food products. Chief Executive Bradley Lake says for the first time in 3 years of business, they're not growing a crop this season.
And that's just because there's been a huge amount of seed grown in the last in the previous 2 years, which means there's a whole lot of seed. There's a massive seed bank sitting there. So we made the decision last year to go through the stock we had left over from last season and then just tap into the stocks that are still sitting around the country at the moment.
That's a pretty big decision, right? I mean, why is demand not meeting expectations?
Well, we had some major changes around the food laws in 2018, and that brought in probably some pretty bullish expectations on the ability to move hemp seed and increase retail demand. And I mean, just generally going through COVID and just the uncertainty that that period brought meant that a lot of companies that we were talking to who were interested in using new hemp ingredients and, you know, we were talking to distributors over in Aussie, all of those conversations just got, you know, sidelined.
Bradley Lake says hemp is still heavily regulated under the Medicines Act, so the leaf and flower part of the plant can't be used. He says that needs to change.
I think getting it under MPI, which is, you know, obviously our primary industry ministry, they actually understand cropping and farming and agriculture much better, and I think also understand that food space a lot better as well, is going to be a massive step for the industry moving forward.
Bradley Lake says he's still upbeat about his company's future as their products have proven to be successful and through word of mouth demand is growing. As you may have heard in the business news, Westland Milk Products is back in the black after making an $80 million loss last year. The company, which is owned by Chinese company Yili, has reported a net profit of $39 million for the 12 months to December. Westland Chief Executive Richard Waith says the company's strategy of focusing on high-value product sales, leveraging off the West Coast's reputation as a source of premium dairy products and ingredients is now paying off. Beef exports from New Zealand were lower than normal last month and down on the five-year average. 42,000 tonnes of beef was sent offshore during February, 3,000 tonnes less than the same time last year. Susan Murray has more.
The decline comes from 1,000 fewer tonnes being shipped to the United States and 2,000 fewer tonnes to other small markets. But China, South Korea, Taiwan and Japan all took similar volumes to February last year. Cyclone Gabriel has impacted production. Some meat processors closed during the cyclone and some were damaged by it and had to close for longer. The latest published kill statistics show the cattle kill for the week ending February the 18th, which was the week the cyclone hit, was 44% lower in the North Island than the same week last year. Just 27,600 head were killed, compared with 49,000 in the same week in 2022.
A Selwyn district farmer has been left with thousands of dying eels strewn across his paddocks. Tim Sanson lives near Lake Ellesmere, and the eels use the creek on his property to breed and migrate. But he says a breach in the nearby seawall means that when it floods, the creek is engulfed and the eels are carried onto the land.
And consequently, as soon as the eels get a sniff of salt water, they're off across the paddocks trying to get to the sea. Unfortunately, the last high tide last night wasn't high enough for them to get across. And they've been stuck there. There's thousands of them there, and you know, it wouldn't matter to me if it was rats or something, but no one or no creature deserves to go out that way, and the seagulls are having a field day. The sun's taking its toll on them, and unless we do something really quickly, they'll perish.
Mr. Sanson says he's tried to warn the Canterbury Regional Council and Selwyn District Council that this would happen for more than a year to no avail. The councils have been approached for comment. To other news, good progress is being made to cut a track through a Tairawhiti farm to reopen access to Tokumaru Bay. Cyclone Gabrielle significantly damaged State Highway 35 and washed away the Hikawai Bridge, leaving the community cut off. Waka Kotahi is erecting a Bailey Bridge, but it will have weight limitations. So Kuru Contracting is cutting a track through farmland owned by Perot Incorporation, which will allow heavier vehicles, including stock trucks, through. Incorporation spokesperson Kylie Pateau says the new road should be open by the end of the month.
Progress is coming along really, really well with the new track. It's always, of course, these things are weather dependent. A touch wood, because at the moment the weather is so volatile. But we have had a good clear stretch of weather. But, you know, as we all know in the media now, it only takes a day or two and next thing you've got a heavy rain warning. So I don't want to jinx that. I just want to say it's going really well now. And, yeah, hoping that that good weather lasts for us right through till the end of March, when we're looking at that project being complete to a point where that road is open and usable.
Kylie Putai says initially Kuru Contracting was covering the cost of the new road, but Waka Kotahi is now supporting the effort with funding. And just lastly, a South Canterbury irrigation company, with the help of its farmer shareholders, wants to create a biodiversity corridor along its water races. Apuha Water releases water for irrigation from the Apuha and Opihi rivers. Company chair Ryan O'Sullivan says the board has set aside $128,000 over the next year to help farmers get environment plans done to see where areas of biodiversity can be created or enhanced.
The overall goal is, you know, the Apuha Dam is at, you know, almost at the head of a pretty large catchment. There's a number of tributaries under the dam. There's a number of tributaries below the dam. Our shareholder irrigators are scattered right throughout the catchment from the coastal regions right inland. We can create those sort of corridors and pathways for bird life in particular, but also other biodiversity to create that corridor from the mountains to the sea.
That's Ryan O'Sullivan from Apuha Water, and that's the rural news for today. Ko e rā te pūrongo o te tai whenua.